We are starting the Lenten series. We're going to look at some of the PowerPoints just to introduce it. The Lenten season started last Wednesday, and let me believe that some of you watched the worship online and that you imposed ash on yourselves. But if you didn't, that's fine. We do the ash just to say, remember that you are dust. To dust you will or shall return. And it's important. Next slide. For this series, especially today and next Sunday, we're going to do these studies, these Bible passages. And we have some Lenten symbols. Next slide. For the first week, we are supposed to look at bread and wine. And that's what we did for our Bible study last Thursday, for those who were there. And I'm happy that everybody really talked about bread and wine. However, we concentrated on the Passover and the Last Supper. Next week, we're going to talk about bread and wine. And then we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper. So we have the Passover, we have the Last Supper, we have the Lord's Supper, L-O-R-D-S, the Lord's Supper. That's what we're going to do next Sunday. And so we'll talk about bowl and the towel. We'll talk about that's what's going to happen. Not next Sunday, because I'm not going to be here next Sunday. We'll have a guest preacher, because I'm traveling to Philadelphia. You'll pray for me. But anyway, we'll have a guest speaker that will talk about bowl and the towel. And so the next Sunday, that's on the 27th or 20th, something like that, I'm going to do wine and bread, and then concentrating on the Lord's Supper, this thing that we eat every month. We're going to expand it to make sure that we understand what we're doing. And then after that, because we have all these symbols to look at, what I think is that the next one, I'm going to talk about the coins and what that means to you and to me. And then I'm going to combine the other three for the Sunday before the Palm Sunday. I'm going to talk about the crown of thorns. I'm going to talk about the cross. I'm going to talk about the nails. And we'll notice that three of them come together when Jesus Christ was being molested by people that he would just look at and they all die. He allowed them to do all this to him. We're going to talk about it. And then for Palm Sunday, we're going to see how to celebrate triumphantly with Jesus Christ, and we're going to see how we're able to do that. So that's the series that we have for this Lenten season. Next slide. And the question now is, what is Lent? Yeah, I know that we've been doing it forever and ever and ever, but some of us don't even know what that means. You know, the word comes from this old English word, lectin. And this word, they don't use it anymore. That simply means spring. And also, the word was adopted from a German word, that's lentin or lenti, meaning spring. And for us, Lent is that 40 days, leading to Easter. And we will notice that when you start counting it, you will notice that it's more than 40. Why? because we do not include Sundays. We skip Sundays, and when we skip Sundays, that makes the 40 days. And what's the significance of these 40 days? You know, we have been hearing 40 days, first 40 days. We got it from two places. One, when the Israelites left Egypt, they were supposed to get to the promised land in 40 days. But they started messing up. Doing stuff. And each day translated to 1 year. And so the 40 years they were in the wilderness. Another is that we already know that Jesus Christ spent 40 days and 40 nights fasting, praying, being tempted by the devil. And somebody in our Bible study asked, is it possible for someone to spend 40 days, 40 nights, and no food? And what I said, yes. The reason is that I have seen one. However, the difference is that this person, after 3 days, in fact, getting to 3 days, he started drinking water. I've seen somebody. And so that's how we came up with the 40 days in our Lenten period. So we are borrowing from the experience of the Israelites. We are borrowing from the experience of Jesus Christ to have the Lenten season. What's the purpose? We'll notice that it helps us to really take care of ourselves as believers. Draw closer to the Lord. Appreciate that Jesus did something for you. I don't even know what you think Jesus did for you. Died for you, saved you, forgave your sins, will come to pick you and be with you forever. Whatever you think that Jesus has done for you as an individual, This Lenten time will help you to start thinking about it. You will be more effective in your service with the Lord if you start thinking about all the sacrifices that Jesus Christ did for you. And then you will try and be more like him. And sometimes also I want to do a comparison of Advent. And some of us who are not Presbyterians sometimes get confused about all this liturgical church stuff. What's the difference between Advent and Lent? We'll notice that both of them find themselves in the calendar of the church. Advent leads up to Christmas. It's a time of great excitement. Something is going to happen. We are anticipating something awesome. Someone is going to be born that will transform the whole history, the whole world. Oh, I can't wait. And I remember in our Bible study, I told a story of my Christmas experience when I was growing up. Little kids will come together to talk about our Christmas journey. You know, if I say it in my language, it will make so much sense to you. And so the kids will come together and they will be like, let's talk about Christmas. Let's talk about who will begin. And then I'll be like, me, I'll begin. And most of the time they will ask me to do that. And in our Bible study, someone said, I know they will ask you because you do all this, your stuff. And that's the truth. Because the way I will so animate it, and then I will be like, and then it's night, and then I will sleep, and then it will be morning, yes, and that will be the day we'll travel to the village. And then this lorry, we used to go with this wooden lorry. I don't know how to explain it. It's made of woods, you know. I can't even describe this big lorry that we enter, my family, my whole family. And then I'll tell them, and then the lorry will come, and then we'll carry our loads and put it in. And then the car is going, the lorry is going, and the trees are also going. If you see the trees, the car will be running, and then the trees will be running fast. And then I thought that trees were walking or running or something. And then I'll remember us coming down from the village, and all these village kids will be screaming. Maybe they haven't seen a car in a long, long, long time. But during Christmas, they will start seeing these lorries bringing people in the cities. And another person will be like, let me continue from there. Let me continue from there. Anticipation. Christmas. And on that Christmas, everybody wants to, you know, dress up in their little gown. For us, we didn't have shoes because we couldn't afford it, but at least we had some little used dresses that we put on. Anticipation, excitement, that's Advent. Now look at Lent. It's more of a solemn thing. Like, oh my goodness. So this Jesus that we were so excited about, they will kill him. He will die. And also I remember telling them that in Sunday school, our teacher will tell us how they whipped Jesus, how they slapped Jesus, how they did Jesus. And I'll remember each time I'll go to the corner of my house and then I'll be crying. I'll be singing this song in my dialect and then I'll be crying so that they will kill Jesus. That's not fair. But these days, no, kids don't even care. They slap Jesus. Oh, yeah, they did. Ooh, yeah. But in those days, because it wasn't common to have all this killing and all the slapping and all the, I mean, it was so, like, shaky. That's what Lent does for us. And that's the difference between Advent and Lent. Anticipation and solemn preparation. The key events that we have is that we have Ash Wednesday, we have the Palm Sunday, the Monday, Thursday, the Good Friday, we have Easter all in this Advent period. So these things, the reason I'm going through this is that just for us to understand what we are doing. Sometimes we don't, and it makes us to not feel good about it. But anyway, the observation of Lent, some churches do, some churches don't. You know, churches like Presbyterian, Anglican, Episcopal, Lutheran, Catholic, they observe Lent. But some other newer churches, you know, believe that you should be thinking about the death, the resurrection, and whatever of Jesus Christ, the suffering every day. Why designate a certain period of time? But we feel that it's very, very important. During this time, let me suggest that we truly do self-examination. Starting from last Wednesday, the people who really are into what is going on in the church believe that this time is a time to step backwards a little bit. We have been on the go. We wake up in the morning everywhere. We are busy. This time around to just focus on something. Focus on you and your relationship with the Lord. Try to reconcile with other people and with yourself. Sometimes we are not reconciled with ourselves. We set aside a time and a place to have time with the Lord. We pray. We read the Bible. We meditate on the Bible. We make notes. Be a practiced Christian. Fast. Give up something. Give up something. Even if it's chocolate, I don't care. Just give up something. Because I was telling them in the Bible study that when we go home and say, yeah, you know, if you go to America, they fast. When they give up TV, that's fasting. And they give up chocolate, that's fasting, or Coke. Instead of ordinary Coke, you do diet Coke. You won't believe how they laugh in my place. Fasting? Yeah, fasting. But if you can wait on the Lord, why not? You say, okay, I'm not going to eat for 2 hours. Let me just stay before the Lord and say something or do something. Even if you don't want to say a word to him, Lord, I'm just giving up food for 2 hours just to stand before you and watch. Don't say anything. That's fine. So you can give up something, whatever it is, at this period. You also try as much as you can to abstain from all appearances of evil. All these sins that cling so much to us. Let's give them up. Let's say no. If you're into so much alcohol that you can't manage your upstairs, give it up. You're into male-female sexual relationship that you're not supposed to involve in, give it up. For the sake of that person who died for you. And he yearns that you also give alms to people. You can become Matthew 25 person. Help people around. Do other spiritual exercises that will make you stronger in faith. You can also do some visitations. You can also go to the shelter homes and just do whatever that will show that this period, I am really engaged in it. Be generous with smiles. Stop frowning your face. Smile. And what I tell people, I don't care, just pretend it. If you see Gladys, please, can you pretend a smile? Oh, you don't even know how it encourages me. I wouldn't even know you are pretending. I won't. Just pretend that you like Gladys. Even if you hate me, that's fine. Just smile. It encourages me. It really does. And make a calendar of what you're doing. It will help you. I know that we don't have time today. We have so many things to do. After you have had your Lenten experiences, prepare your hearts for the resurrection celebration. Very soon it will come. Jesus will rise from the dead. I don't care what the enemy is doing. Yeah, they will beat him, they will slap him, they will put a thorn, whatever. On that day, he will arise and nothing will keep him there. He will rise. Prepare for it. Make your home happy. Make your home joyful. Make your home celebratory. I don't know how to say that word, but make it exciting, festive. Dance. Put music. You know, I don't like homes. You come into homes, the homes are just like you want to open windows. Open the windows, for God's sake. Be joyful. And that's where I pick on women. Women, please don't modify, don't kill me. But women turn the temperature of the home. Make the home exciting. Just, even if you don't feel like, start doing something that will brighten the atmosphere. I guarantee you, your husband will join. The Lord's Supper and the bread and wine and the Holy Communion and the eat, take, this is my body, we shall do all those. And so this morning, because we don't have time, we're going to talk just a little bit about the Passover that we have already known that the Israelites left Egypt And before they left Egypt, there was an instruction, prepare. There was a preparation. Something is going to happen. And that thing will not affect you if you kill a lamb. I don't care if it's a goat. If you can't afford it, join with other people. Just put blood on the doorpost and you're fine. When I see this blood on your doorpost, I will pass over you. Not this one. No blood. And then, oh, there's blood. I will pass over you. That's how we got the name, Passover. And the same thing applies to you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Do you know that if Jesus Christ is in your heart, you have the blood? I guarantee you, nothing shall by any means hurt you. If anything happens to Gladys, God is there. He sanctioned it. But without the blood, you are in trouble for real. Why? Because from the beginning, it says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And you will not be hurt. So, the angel passed over. It became a very big festival for the nation of Israel. It became an annual event for the people of Israel. Jesus Christ and his parents also celebrated the Passover. And you can see it in Luke chapter 2. You remember when Jesus was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. The apostles and Jesus Christ also celebrated the Passover. And that's how we also got the Last Supper. And two items were there. After they had taken the feast, the Passover feast, Jesus Christ said, okay, can I have the bread over there? He took the bread. When he saw this bread, he was excited. Why? Because that was representing his own blood, body, that he's going to give for you and for me. The Bible says, he took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, he gave to them, he said something to them. Remember that in the Passover, there was nothing like break, give, say, no. But this time, he took the bread, prayed about the bread, broke the bread, gave out the bread. That's all that he's doing for you. I don't know if you have looked at Jesus' prayer for you and for me in John chapter 17. He really did a good prayer for you. And for me, he has done everything, giving you his own body. I'm just looking at the time, and I'm sorry, the bread symbol represents that Jesus's body has been given for us. It's a symbol. Any time that we remember bread that we are taking, we're going to talk more about it the next time I'll be here. Shows that Jesus is the bread of life. And let me quote John 6:35. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Never. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So if you take Jesus, you are not going to be hungry anymore. Oh, really? No, you won't be hungry, for real. Because the food that we are eating now satisfies just for a moment. But when you have Jesus, oh my goodness, whether you are suffering, there's this inner peace that you have guaranteed. And I'm talking to you out of experience. You will be crying and wailing, but you have peace inside you. That's what the bread does for us. If you take Jesus in, you will be okay. So why are you hungry when the bread is there? Wine represents Jesus' blood. He took the cup. After giving thanks, he said, drink it, all of you, all of it. And this is the covenant in my blood shed for you for forgiveness of sins. So when we remember the blood, that's in the Last Supper. But we do it here. That's what we're going to talk about. How are we doing it? Do it in remembrance of me. That's the instruction. And I don't know whether we do it. And in the Last Supper, the disciples were oblivious of what was going on. They were just didn't know what was happening because they were engaged in other things. Okay, who is going to be the greatest in our midst? Oh, it's me. Why not? What? No, it's not you. But I came first. When important things were being instituted, they were busy thinking and saying and doing other things. Oh, is it me, Lord, that will betray you? No, it's not me. Are you sure? And then John was leaning on Jesus' shoulder. Can you ask Jesus when all these things will happen? They were just thinking about completely different things. Only Jesus Christ knew what was happening. And they didn't know until after Jesus Christ appeared to them. The Holy Spirit interpreted all this to them. So how are you? I mean, what we're doing, do you know what we're doing? Do you even have a clue what we are talking about when we talk about all these things? And finally, two of the Gospels said, when they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And I won't take your time to talk about it, but they sang a hymn. Jesus sang a hymn. Do you ever think, what kind of hymn did they make? What kind of hymn did they sing? Did they use guitar? Who played what? What's the liturgy in the song? How did they make the song? And some of you would be like, Jesus singing? Oh, yeah, sure. Why? Why not? He was fully human. And so he sang with his disciples. During the Bible study, I was giving them an example. Sometimes when we are singing, especially the guys, I'm going to pick on you now. I had picked on the ladies. You know, when we are singing, some of the guys will put their hands in their pocket. Just go to some of the Pentecostal churches. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, the women are just busy singing, and the guys are... So what I'm saying this morning is that Jesus Christ, the Lord of your life, sang. Why are you not singing? When last did you sing? When last did you raise your voice and sing to the Lord? Sing to, oh my goodness, God, I love you and all that. When? Oh, you think you're too big to sing. No, you're not. If Jesus sang, please go ahead and sing. And because of time, I wouldn't, talk about Psalm 118. A writer believed that Jesus sang Psalm 118. The stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Oh, it's God, you are my salvation. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endure forever. And since Jesus was going through all kinds of things, emotionally traumatized, Jesus Christ sang. Moreover, the Psalms 113 to 118 has been a song for the Passover from the initial time. And Jesus Christ kept that tradition. So in conclusion, take care of the Lent. Be joyful about the Lent, observe the Lent, and in all the observation, remember that Easter is coming. Prepare for Easter. Prepare internally, inside you for Easter. Prepare your families for Easter. And finally, do a song to the Lord today. I don't care what your voice sounds like. In your bedroom, in the bathroom, or in the kitchen, make sure that you sing a song today. Amen.